Hey, Gopher fans, it's the first ever edition of the Go Gopher Podcast with Mike Grimm. I am the host of the podcast, Mike Grimm, radio voice of the Golden Gophers. You hear me on Gopher Radio Network's Gopher Football and Men's Basketball broadcast, on our daily updates, on the weekly coaches' shows. And if you're a big Gopher fan, you likely see me at Gopher events, either emceeing or when I can, showing off Paul Bunyan's axe. Glad you're choosing to listen. This is episode number one. We're excited to talk Golden Gopher basketball, as first-year head coach Ben Johnson will be guest one on episode one. And my broadcast partner, Spencer Tollickson, on the radio, he'll join me to talk about year one of the Ben Johnson era at Minnesota as well here on episode one. Our Go Gopher podcast with Mike Grimm is brought to you by State Farm insurance agent Tony Hoagland at ChamplinInsurance.com. Tony is a big fan, a big, big Gopher fan. Be sure to give him a call. We appreciate his support of the Go Gopher podcast. ChamplinInsurance.com, State Farm agent Tony Hoagland. It's a great honor to be joining the Talk North lineup of podcasts and to be able to bring you what I hope will be compelling, entertaining, informative, and fun Golden Gopher content, not only for Gopher fans, but also sports fans in general. To join a general lineup of podcasts that includes Michael Russo, Anthony LaPanta, Jim Suhan, John Krasinski, Cheryl Reeve, Roy Smalley, Lavelle Neal, Ron Shera and company, and the great John Millay, and many others, it is a real thrill, and I'm glad that the Gopher is going to be part now of this platform. On the podcast itself, some weeks we may talk X's and O's, other weeks we may dive into some great human interest stories, but we'll be guest-driven, hopefully bringing you voices you want to hear, and maybe some voices you never thought you'd hear when you think about Gopher sports. We hope we can be unique with our perspective, but also on topic with the big news of the week, week to week. Specific to this week, I'm always intrigued with how people got to where they are and the path they followed, and Ben Johnson's path to be the head basketball coach at the University of Minnesota is an interesting one. We could spend hours on it, but we're going to spend 20 minutes on it today talking with Ben specifically about those 7 days leading up to his being named the head men's basketball coach at the University of Minnesota. It's the Go Gopher Podcast, episode one, and we're thrilled you're with us, and Golden Gopher head basketball coach Ben Johnson is guest one on episode one. And of all the things you've done so far as the head coach, this has to maybe top the list, I would think, Coach.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. Number one, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you're guest one. We do appreciate it. And first of all, before we get into some things, and I wanted to ask you about the hiring process, there's been a few things talked about that, but I'm always a guy that's interested in stories about how you got to where you are. We could do probably a four-hour podcast on that, right? For if we wanted to go all the way back to you playing youth basketball and youth sports. But before we get into any of that, I do want to ask, how has it been? You're the head coach of the University of Minnesota men's basketball program. How has that been at this point for you? And as we talk and do this podcast, we're at the team hotel in East Lansing getting ready for Michigan State and Minnesota.
Oh, it's been good, learning every day, learning every game. Learning how, you want the program run, learning how you want, your staff run and handle things, and, learning just the system, what works. Now that you're a couple games into the Big Ten, it's like, okay, at the highest level, what works defensively for us? What works offensively? What do you see long term for how you want your program to look and be built now that you've gone up, against four or five teams? All that part has been fun. That's all part of, to me, the building process is figuring out, hey, I thought, going into it, we're going to, this was going to be our identity. And you know what? It is. Or, we're going to have to flip this a little bit. Or, going through the league, here's what we need personnel-wise, right? And, we need this personnel-wise because this style of play will help us win. Or, we can make the jump if we have A, B, and C, and D type players. So that's been the fun part. As well as just, the challenge of trying to compete and win games. You're forced to, in this league, have unbelievable prep and really be, fine-tuned and locked in with, your game plan and on both sides of the ball. So the competitive part of that has been a blast.
All right, so let's go back to you're an assistant coach at Xavier. The Gophers on March 15th decided to make a change. Athletic Director Mark Coyle said, we're going to get a new voice and a new person in charge of Gopher men's basketball. 7 days later, you are named the head coach. And, you know, there were some rumblings that maybe some changes were there. So take me back to that time. You're finishing your season in Cincinnati at Xavier. And how did this all kind of unfold? Obviously, people knew of your interest. You were an assistant coach here. You played here. Take me through kind of that week, maybe from when the news first broke that a change was happening.
Yeah, you kind of get wind or you hear about things and when you're in the profession. So there was always kind of, I think it was right around the Big Ten tournament, started to pick up a little bit about just rumors of what might happen. So you pay attention to it a little bit, but you always know, you never know. So, was just kind of going about my day-to-day and the news officially broke. And then you're thinking, all right, I'm a realist, so I knew, okay, I've never been a head coach before. This is, the best conference in the country. It's the highest level. And, would I really have a chance? Is this even realistic to go down the route of even thinking about it or, trying to circle around and figure out if it's something that would make sense? And, I just kind of went out on a limb and said, if it does circle back to me and there is an in, or I get word that like, hey, I should reach out or touch base or what have you, then I'm gonna do it. I didn't want to have a regret of somebody else getting it and me not even, trying to approach it or initiate or show that I had interest in it. And so, the process began. And then once they're in the process, now it's more of like, okay, let me make sure it's not, I didn't want it just to be a courtesy, situation.
Right. Now you played here.
Like the courtesy. Yeah. Exactly. And I kind of told Mark that. I didn't say it in that way, but I was just kind of like, all right, now is this for real? Once we actually finally got the chance to talk, and I told him that, definitely I had some interest, and I expressed, my initiative of hey, if this is something that, you see potentially, I'd love to get a chance to talk to you. But I just said, I also get it. You don't feel like you need to interview me because, somebody in the public wrote about it or it's a good story or, you want to do it because I'm an alum or a former player. Like, I don't necessarily need that. So if you're serious, then yeah, figure it out and throw my hat in. Would love to have a crack.
And so he said he was serious. You said, well, then I'm interested. At that point, do you have an agent? Did he reach out or did it just through back channels you guys connected? And then the next thing you know, you're in the interview process?
Yeah. No, I do have an agent. But the thing I love about Mark is he goes at it from, one-on-one standpoint. So my agent was not involved at all, which is nice. So it really happened quick. I mean, I had reached out to him and he hit me back and we talked and I expressed my, interest in it and if he had interest in me and things picked up and before you know it, I'm on a Zoom. And, you go from one Zoom to a second Zoom and a couple phone calls and then you get flown in and just, again, like you said, I think the process was about 7 days. It happens fast. And so, thankfully it was the right time, right place. When I actually got here to campus and met, with him and Julie and Dusty and, Jeremiah was in the room and the president and just to see everybody and how connected they were. That was when I was like, I have to get this job because I know that's just hard to come by when everybody's aligned and on the same page and, you can feel that. And so that's why I think, we're going to be in a really good position to move this program forward because I think everybody wants it and everybody's aligned and on the same page with it.
We forget, too, that, there's cases going around now in a whole different realm, but that was even pre-vaccination being really out there, right? You're talking middle of March, people were maybe starting to get it. So, yeah, it was virtual communication, right, for the first couple that you talked with?
Yeah, no, it was definitely a Zoom. And those are hard because, especially for me, I knew that for me to get this, I probably had to get a face to face so they could feel, whether it was energy or whether it was just authenticity. I felt like my advantage was that face to face, person to person, where we can actually, talk about the university and talk about, what I knew and what I felt like were changes that need to be made and why I was the right guy. So my thing was just like, I just got to get to campus. That's all I kept saying. It's like, if I can just get to campus and Mark and Joan and Julie and all, they could they could feel it. I said, "Man, then I would like my chances better." And luckily, it panned out.
Yeah, and in talking now that we know after the fact, talking to people that were involved there, they're like, "Yeah, this guy came in, hit a home run." Like, so what you needed, what you thought, I need to get there in person really to express it. Turns out you were. Your instinct was correct, right? Because at that point, then they're like, "This is our guy."
Yeah, and I think I've been on a couple previous on-campus interviews, and the good part is I had the confidence of knowing, like, I this is what's going to be. This is kind of the breakdown of how they go. Learned from a couple ones that I did previously of for me what I needed to do more or better. But then I just remember, Matt Painter told me on the road one time, he said, when you're in that position, it's not necessarily that they're going to, ask you about basketball questions. You get to that point because they figure out that, you're good enough with your X's and O's and you can coach. You need to walk in there and have those people be like, okay, this is the guy. You need to check all those boxes and leave no doubt that, like, you're the piece that they can confidently say, he's going to take our program from A to B, and that's what I did. I think my mind frame was just that, was walking in there going, almost like you already had the job. You got to force that, like, you're so confident in what you're doing and what you believe in and how you're going to run it and your vision, that, like, you're coming at them as a conversation of as if you already are the coach and we're talking about the program right now. And that was just kind of my thought process. And it was almost like, you get one crack at this, you got to take a hard cut and see what happens. You got nothing to lose and, go down swinging type of thing.
And when you think about it, fit is so important with anything you do. You mentioned you had a couple of other interviews. How much different was it, though, to speak passionately about the place you grew up, the place you attended school, or maybe the other interview to even, be authentic? I mean, this is your school, your city. Yeah. That might have been a difference maker from some other opportunities.
Yeah, definitely. And also because I just felt like I had more of the answers to this one. Whereas the other ones, you're doing your research and you're doing your homework.
Sure.
So you have a job interview at, school A. Well, you're on Google and you're trying to figure out, you're fact checking everything. And you're trying to do all your homework and due diligence and get the answers.
You almost had the answers.
Whereas
to the test.
Here, I felt like I already had them. So that gave me confidence going in that, like, no, dude, you're a step ahead of everybody. You whether it was people that were on the Zoom you already knew or the tradition or whatever, you could speak from a different angle. And I think that's the key. Like, when you're trying to get a job, all right, how am I going to be able to separate myself from everybody else? What makes me different? Like, why would they hire me? If we're all the same, they're going to go to a more experienced guy. Like, I knew that. So I had to come at it like, okay, what's my angle to get this that's going to separate me from guys that have been tenured head coaches? And so for me, it was easy. It was like, I've lived it, from a lot of different angles. That was unique. My story was different. And so then it was like, okay, once you find out your angle, then you got to crush that and you got to knock it out.
All right. So the week moves on. You're getting toward the weekend. We're starting to hear, hey, I think they're getting close to a position here. We're seeing names in newspaper articles being attached to the job. Your name occasionally comes up, but maybe not as prominently as some others. You know what's really happening. So how are you feeling as you head into, I think Monday was the decision day, right, when it was official. As you're heading into Friday, Saturday, that weekend, staying in touch with people, either on the committee or what have you, kind of take us through the nerve. Maybe it was nervous, maybe it was confidence, maybe it was, hey, I don't want to get my hopes up. What was that weekend like?
Yeah, no, I wasn't nervous at all, honestly, because I knew that through the process, there was nothing more I could have done. And I try to always be like that, where, if you can prepare for something to the best of your ability, then it's just, it is what it is. They either like you or they don't, but there's nothing. I never left an interview or a session going, man, I wish I would have said this, or man, I wish I was able to express this, or God, I should have brought up this point. I had done enough where, like, I had been able to check every single box. And so for me, that was good enough. Would there have been disappointment? Obviously. But it was as I just felt like, as long as I could get everything out there, and I just wanted them to make a hard decision for their part. And as long as I made it hard on them, I felt like I was going to be in a good place. I didn't know that was guarantee me to get the job, but I was just like, just let me at least have no regrets in terms of getting everything out to them that I wanted to on my terms. And That's what happened.
Are you, when Mark Coyle, I assume it was Mark Coyle made the call to you, were you in back in Cincinnati?
I was
still
in Cincinnati.
The cities. No, you're back in Cincinnati, and the call comes in. What, you see it, right?
So I remember, it was crazy because I want to say it was a Saturday morning, and I just normally had a routine. We were in the off season, so Saturdays, you're not in the office, and I just normally had a routine. I'm a member of a gym that's 5 minutes from my house, so I got up in the morning and did my normal, workout, and it's weird. So I have all this, obviously, Xavier gear from 3 years. There was only two pieces. That's weird. Actually, I have the shirt on right now. There's only two pieces of Gopher gear that I had, and for some reason, I still have them. I had a shirt, and I had a pullover. And out of all the things I could have worn that day to work out, I grabbed this gray Gopher shirt from when I played. So I'm in the car, and literally I'm 2 minutes down the street, and I think it was Julie who called me and said, "Hey, what are you doing right now?" I said, "Well, I'm actually driving to work out." She's like, "Can you be on a flight, in 2 hours or whatever it was?" And I was like, "Yeah." So I just remember turning a U in the car, and I have a dog. So in my mind, I'm like, "Oh my God, I gotta pack. I gotta find somebody to watch my dog. I gotta rush to the airport. I gotta make sure I have a suit. All
good
this stuff.
Suit.
Yeah, you have no idea. But this was for the final interview, and so I'm sitting there going, "Oh my God." So we circle back, we do all that stuff, we go to the final interview, then I come back to Cincinnati, and then I do remember I did.
So you're in Saturday interview and fly right back.
I think I flew back Saturday. If I remember this right, I think I flew back. It's all. I think I flew back Saturday night, or Sunday morning. One of the two.
Yeah.
I forget. All I know is I'm back in Cincinnati, and I just remember when you leave the interview, you don't know the timetable. So it could be 2 or 3 days, or it could be 24 hours. They don't tell you, "Hey, we're going to let you know." And, so you fly back, and that was kind of the one time where it was the waiting game, where you're sitting back and you're going, "I just want to know, how long am I going to be waiting this thing out? Is there one more person they're going to interview?" I think they maybe had one more person they were interviewing on Sunday. All right, and so I might have flown back on Sunday, and then I remember, because if Monday was the announcement, it was Sunday I was back, and I thought there might be a decision midweek, so I just remember I think maybe it might have been Monday when I'm sitting in my bed in the morning, and you see Mark Coyle on your caller ID, and I'm going, "Oh boy!" And it was kind of unexpected because it was early and it was unexpected, and I just remember seeing it and going, "Oh boy!" And that was a time when you knew, all right, this is going to go one of two ways. The minute I answer this call, it's either going to be, happy, or it's going to be disappointment. And, that's when the only time I think I ever kind of, your heart beats a little bit and you get that hello. Because I've been on the other end a couple of times where it's been like, "Hey, we loved you, but." And it was just like, you're either going to have an and or a but after this. And you're going to know in the first 10 seconds with the mood of the call. So,
what do you say? You said hello.
I said hello, and I just remember him saying, "How you doing?" And he reiterated. I think he messed with me a little bit, and not on purpose, but he said, "Hey, I just wanted you to know you did a really good job." And so right away, I'm thinking, here it is.
Here we go.
Did a great job, everything, but. And it wasn't going to be the "and." And then he was like, "And." And I was like, "Oh." He was like, "And we're laser focused in on you as being the next head coach." And that's when I was like, whoa. And I think the first person I called was JB Bickerstaff, because they needed a reference for something. And I hadn't told anybody through this process. I hadn't told family, friends, Thorson, nobody, because I didn't want to have to their worry to be. I would have felt that, so I didn't say anything to anybody. So JB was the first guy I ever told. And I just said, "Dude, you're going to get a call, I think, from the University of Minnesota as kind of a background check or something, because I think I just got the job." And he was like, "Wait, what?" And I was like, "Yeah, so just answer the call. Not answer the call. Answer the call, we can wrap this thing up and get it over with." And then after that, I put the phone down. I'm just sitting there looking. I remember just staring in my room about, "All right, what do you do now? Because it was official, but it wasn't. And Mark was going to call me right back, and there's still fine lines and background checks, and you just froze there like, what do I do? Like, am I like, what? So
wow.
It became real pretty quick.
And then he calls you back and says.
He calls me back. He said, "Yeah, everything's checked out." He said, "We're good to go." He said, "We're going to send a plane. Can it be at the airport at this time? We're going to do a press conference tomorrow." And you're just like, yep, 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 yep. 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 Didn't ask questions. Just, you know, agreed. And then you scramble and try to find, you know, stuff to throw in a suitcase for however long, and you just figure it out.
Did you, when you hung up, did you scream? Did you do a cartwheel? Were you calm? Did you call people at that point?
Yeah. So then afterwards, it was like, you know, you have a sense of relief, obviously. You're ecstatic. You're excited. You're pumped. You're trying to figure out, all right, what do I do next? You know, there's so much going through your mind. It's like, where do I start chipping away here? And you're like, you know, I better start informing some people, because then it was like, all right, when is this going to get on Twitter? And I didn't want, you know, people that I was close with to find out through the Twitter. So you're on the phone scrambling, and you're talking to people, and you're not even really paying attention because your mind's racing about other stuff, and you're still trying to pack and do all this stuff and get to the airport. So it was kind of the best type of chaos you could have.
Man, it's amazing. Well, hey, we're at the team hotel. You have team dinner, so we appreciate you being guest one on episode one. That was pretty fascinating stuff, and I'm sure you think about that one phone call and how it's changed the trajectory of your life, this program, and here we are having some fun.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It was a good time. Always good to relive, and always got to do our job and win.
Very good. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
That's Golden Gopher head coach Ben Johnson. As mentioned, we could talk for hours on that, but we appreciate his insight. I thought real interesting stuff, and we may elaborate more on that process later on in the year. More on the Go Gopher podcast with Mike Grimm after a word from our sponsor.
Hey, Gopher fans, this is your State Farm agent, Tony Hoagland. We are super excited to be part of the new Mike Grimm Show on Talk North. For the year of 2022, we will be donating $10 to the University of Minnesota Children's Masonics Hospital for everyone that calls our office or checks in with us online and mentions that they heard about us on Talk North and the Mike Grimm Show. We are really excited again that Mike came on board with Talk North. You can reach us at 763-421-4900. You can find us on the web at champlininsurance.com. Again, 763-421-4900, or find us on the web at champlininsurance.com. Roll the boat, Sky Uma, go Gophers.
Back with more of the Go Gopher podcast, episode number one. We've already heard from Gopher head men's basketball coach Ben Johnson some interesting things on the week leading up to him getting named the head coach of the Golden Gophers, and we'll continue with Gopher basketball talk now. My broadcast partner, Spencer Tollickson, former Gopher, Mr. Basketball in Minnesota, 2004. Yeah, and here we are at the team hotel at Michigan State. We're in East Lansing, Michigan, part of a five-day road trip, and I thought, what a better way to get the first podcast off and running, but to on the road. Good to see you as always.
Good to see you as well, Grimmer. Thanks for having me. The inaugural podcast, episode number one. I'm honored to be a part of it. Truthfully, this is pretty cool that you're doing this. Happy for you.
Yeah, this will be fun. We're looking forward to a lot of good Gopher discussion through this podcast over the course of hopefully many, many weeks and years and months to come. You know, it's interesting, before we get into some of the nuts and bolts about Ben Johnson's first year, as that's the topic at hand, I do want to talk first about some other stuff with you, and that is, we're in the middle of this five-day road trip here. For those that don't know, the Gophers played Sunday at Indiana. The radio crew, except for the pandemic year, travels with the team. We're on the team charter, and traditionally it's a convenient thing. It's not always as glamorous as people think. A jet setting with a basketball team. There's a lot of late nights stuck in O'Hare Airport until 2 in the morning, and getting stuck at Mississippi State overnight because of some issues and different things like that that occasionally happen. Well, we had an interesting start to this trip where we were heading to Bloomington, Indiana last Saturday, needed to fly into Indianapolis, started to descend into Indianapolis, and there was some freezing rain, and all of a sudden there was some issues that the plane couldn't handle. Some of the equipment apparently wasn't right or something along those lines. We had to turn around, fly all the way back to Minneapolis, land, change planes, fly all the way back to Indianapolis, and then get on a bus from Indianapolis to Bloomington. And it ended up being about a seven-hour trip that should have been maybe a 90-minute trip or whatever. So anyway, sometimes it isn't always great, and sometimes when a team loses, and I'm not trying to make excuses for a loss, that there are some factors in it that all of a sudden things change on you. And for us, the biggest thing was we didn't get to go to Janko Zagreb, one of our favorite spots in the Big Ten, to eat because we got there too late. But travel sometimes is an interesting topic.
Yeah, it certainly is. And, you know, you bring up travel and where we just came from, number one. We've discussed this many a times. And this is probably a whole nother podcast, all of our favorite food spots in the Big Ten. But we know, and you introduced me to Little Zagreb's, gosh, it was a number of years ago now. And it's certainly the trip that we circle on the calendar. And for sure, we thought we'd have an opportunity to get there at least once, considering we were in Bloomington two nights this year. And we didn't get a chance to go, Grimmer. We didn't get to go. But yeah, you bring up the travel aspect. There's been, you know, down at Mississippi State, we had plane issues, so we had to stay an extra night there. I don't know if I've ever been on a flight before that you quite literally get to your city of destination, you start your descent, and the plane realizes it doesn't have, or the pilot realizes the plane doesn't have the capabilities to land at that said spot. So you have to fly all the way back to Minneapolis. So the way that these guys travel, though, we're on the Big Sun Country, at least this year, from a convenience and comfortability perspective, there is that. But yeah, it ended up being a really long day. I think we got to the hotel between 9 and 10 o'clock, and normally I would say, ah, no big deal, but it was a quick turnaround for the guys. For us, it's, you know, we go grab a late dinner, watch some TV, go to bed, get up and go to work. But for these guys, they had to start their day really early with that noon Eastern tip. So not saying it was a factor, not saying it couldn't, maybe it was a factor, but some interesting travel indeed, the last, at least this year, but also in the last, what has it been, Mike, 12 years with us?
Yeah, no doubt. We've gotten one trip that we got into, I remember Boston for Boston College, the Big Ten ACC Challenge a few years ago, where the flight was delayed and we got in like at 2 in the morning. And we got in the middle of the night in Lincoln one night as well. We got into the hotel like at 2:30 or 3 o'clock, and that happens. It's, you know, and the Gophers certainly aren't the only team that that deals with that. But anyway, it's interesting. This is a five-day road trip that we're in the middle of as we record this podcast. The Michigan State Spartans, the next opponent. And I was interested in your thoughts on, yeah, if you were a player, is that a trip you'd like? Now, the part of the reason they've done this is there's no class in session right now at the school. So there's not a lot of people on campus, not a lot of things to do. So Ben Johnson thought, hey, let's get the team some bonding time, some together time, get out of the routine a little bit. They practiced in Bloomington on Monday. They practiced in East Lansing on Tuesday and had their shoot-around Wednesday and the basketball game Wednesday night. As a player, would you have liked that? And I know you guys had some interesting road trips over your time as well.
Yeah, I had an opportunity to just create some small talk with head coach Ben Johnson the other day in that regard, and reflecting on when I was a player, how much that I would and the rest of the team would enjoy those type of trips, just because it, like you said, number one, let's be clear, they're not in class right now, so there's no reason to actually be on campus. All the students, or most of the students, are gone, so campus is not hopping right now. It's dead. I think it's a great opportunity for the team and the guys, obviously, to get away, and you're forced to do nothing but spend all your time together. I know the other night when the national title football game was on, I know that the team all got together, they watched film on Michigan State, and then right after that, they clicked over to ESPN, they ordered a bunch of food, and they all watched the game together. And I think those are the types of exercises, if you will, and that is the type of time that Ben Johnson and this coaching staff wanted to grasp, so to speak, and take advantage of during this little lull in this break. And the way the schedule shook out at Indiana, at Michigan State, it was a great opportunity for them to take advantage of that time. And as a player, thinking back on it, absolutely, it's a great time to just get away and simply focus on basketball. This is a great time of year if you are a student athlete, especially in college athletics, or excuse me, basketball, because there is no class. You really have one job to do, and that is just to focus on basketball until school picks back up.
Spencer Tollickson with us. This is the Go Gopher podcast. It's episode number one. We heard from Ben Johnson to start this podcast about the week leading into between the time that Richard Pitino and the school parted ways and Ben Johnson got hired. And certainly as we look back on that, what an exciting time, and to hear Ben tell the story. And, you know, even at the start of that week saying, you know, was I a legitimate candidate or not? I don't know. But I was going to at least reach out and see, because, you know, you don't want to miss out on an opportunity. opportunity. And then he clearly hit a home run with the search committee. They invited him in for an in-person interview, and he'd mentioned to us on this podcast that once he got the in-person interview, he felt real good about it. Because, you know, it's one thing to interview for the Northern Illinois job or some other jobs when you're talking about a campus that you're maybe not familiar with and how much you want that job. But it's another when you're talking about, in this case, your school, your city, and everything else. And now, knowing what we know, Spence, looking back, I know there were some people surprised that Ben got hired. I was a little surprised Ben got hired. But man, I am also surprised how early he has taken a command of this position. I've really been impressed with how he is taking control and just the general demeanor he has as a head coach, which, you know, is steps ahead of where I thought he'd be, given he had no previous head coaching experience. But man, he's blossomed. Now, look, we don't know record-wise where it'll end up. We don't know how it'll end up 2 years from now, 5 years from now. But based on just my observations, I have been ultimately impressed with how he has commanded the situation.
Yep, me too. You go back to first of all, that period of time when they made the decision to move on from Richard, and then what were they going to do? And obviously there were a bunch of names, or not a bunch, but a handful of names and reputable names, and certainly names that people thought could be a fit at Minnesota, and people were getting excited about. And when you know, I'm looking at this from my perspective, Mike, it's, you know, you and I, but we're so close to it. I mean, in the winter months, we are, I mean, I spend more time with you and this team than my own family some weeks. We are so, so close to it. And when the name started to bubble up, you get excited. And then we had all kind of heard that whatever that day was, that Ben Johnson's name was certainly in the mix, and that there was some white smoke coming from Bierman, right? And I could not believe it. I didn't know what to think. I was as shocked as a lot of other people, mainly because, you know, to Ben's credit, he had never been a head coach before. He'd never made a substitution that mattered. He never called a timeout that mattered. I'm sure he'd led in-game huddles, but he'd never been the guy to be the spearhead of a program and a group. And he'll be the first to admit there were a ton of question marks. But you hit the nail on the head, Mike, when you talk about the passion that Ben has for this city and this university. It rings different. And just hearing the stories about how he interviewed and the communication that he had and the passion that he was able to exude ultimately led him to getting the job. Now, once he got the job, what was it going to look like from there? I would say that he's had a somewhat difficult time building a roster with some injuries and some things happening, but he's left with about 7 or 8 guys that play significant minutes. He and this coaching staff have been able to quickly come in and implement their style of play and their culture, which I thought would take them at least a year or two to even start to turn that corner. But to your point, Mike, the command that Ben has in the games, like down at Mississippi State, when we're sitting courtside and we're watching these guys, and we're watching this coaching staff and how engaged they are, and the way that Ben commands the game, I didn't know that he had that, and how could he? You'd never seen him do it before. So, and again, like you said, we don't know where this thing's going to end up, but I've been thoroughly impressed so far. And another way, I've been surprisingly impressed, because I did not think it was going to go as well as it has through the first 12, 13 games of the season.
Yeah, and when you look at what he's been able to do, you mentioned implement the system, and he's assembled a staff now, and that takes a minute as well, just to get every one of the coaches and the support staff, in addition to the coaches, you're talking about managers and quality control people and film and video and all that stuff. It all takes a minute, you would think, to get on the same page, but I've been impressed with how quickly he's been able to get these guys. You know, and you and I have some unique access that not a lot of people get. We get to watch practices during the week if we want. Certainly on these road trips, we go to the shoot-arounds and watch the coaches implement the scouting report, the final steps, then a walk through the day of the game, and those kind of things. So, you know, for us to be able to kind of pass along, you know, some of those things we have to guard a little bit because there are some trade secrets. There's other things I think that we can pass along. And so as some people listen to us talk, they might say, well, those are two Gopher announcers. Of course they're going to say, what a great job he's doing. doing. And so, look, we have, you know, if people want to say that, that's fine. But we do have some unique insight, and we've been around it. I thought, you know, going back, I always thought that really most of the coaches we have had different approaches. And, you know, we saw Richard Pitino's approach in shoot-arounds evolve over the years, where early, man, they were very intent on scouting the other opponent and knowing, hey, this is what's going to happen. And then they kind of evolved into, nah, and Richard talked about this, we're going to worry more about what we do and less about what the opponent does. And I think this has been a good mix of what Ben has done, whether it's in the shoot-arounds, whether it's in practice, whether it's with us on the road, whether the I mean, he's great on the coaches' shows. I mean, Ben has really, I think, evolved already as a first-year head coach. Obviously, he's had a lot of good mentors over the years. But in watching him and his staff handle practices and shoot-arounds, I gotta tell you, I've been impressed with the teaching aspect of it. And there's some legitimate coaching going on there.
Being a former player and now being in the seat that I'm in and having the opportunity to see not only the different head coaches come through here, but the assistant coaches and how they go about their business or the way they go about their business and all the different staffs. And I think that what Ben provides is a very unique wrinkle to his coaching approach is he was a player at this level. And that's not to say that you have to have been a player at a level to be a successful coach. Clearly you don't have to be. There's plenty of people out there. But for just my two cents, I think Ben brings that unique, different element to his approach of a practice after a bad loss, after a big win, being in those shoes before, quite literally, sitting in that locker room, being in those huddles. I think he just provides a little bit of a unique, different perspective, being a former player, and also having the relationship with his assistant coach and Dave Thorsten. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention him every time we talk about Ben and the staff. And Ben really leans on Dave, and Dave's a guy who is bundled with experience. He's somebody that you just gravitate when he's in a room, you gravitate towards. So I think Ben being able to lean on Dave Thorsten as well has really helped this transition, so to speak.
And obviously, we all are familiar with Dave, with what he did with Clem Haskins as an assistant here at the program. And now all these years later, he's back with. And all that success he had at De La Salle, including time with Ben Johnson, right, when he was a player there, what, 9 state titles and, you know, really a dominating situation that he had going there. And then he got hooked up with Nico, and they went back a ways and went to Drake for a year and at Colorado State. Now, you know, the Rams have it going, just one. I know they did lose the other day, but, you know, Colorado State has it going, and Dave Thorsten was a piece of that as well. Thing that I've been impressed with, because I honestly, you know, I knew of him, I'd never been to a De La Salle game, so I didn't know, you know, what his style was. But man, you talk about prepared, you talk about having an idea of how to defend something, and I mean, there's been some times we first saw it actually down in Tulsa when the Gophers played Oklahoma State, and the first game was Colorado State and Tulsa, and we were getting set up courtside while that game was going, and that's the first time I saw Dave up close, and he was calling plays as Tulsa was coming into the offensive end from the Colorado State bench. Dave was calling the plays of Tulsa, right, before Tulsa was calling the plays, right, and telling his players where to be on the floor to defend. So that as a backdrop, I was really eager to see him in action. And what I've been impressed with is, because in the game, he was very intense. Yeah. I mean, he was like, I'm like, whoa, this guy is into this. And then in practice, he's intense, but there's more of a calm, almost demonstrative teaching, yeah, aspect of it. And when I say demonstrative, I don't mean like he's flailing his arms and he's gesticulating and he's doing, I mean demonstrative in the fact that he like legitimately will walk out on the court and point to a spot on the floor and say, this is where we need you to be to guard this pick, or we need to go under here. Right. And it's really specific. And I think college players still need those real specifics. And there is some really good teaching going on. And I don't want to just single Dave out, because obviously I think this offense has really benefited. Marcus Jenkins is doing a good job there. Jason Kemp has had a really good influence as well. And others, I mean, all the way down to, you know, Josh Adele, who's been with the program now, he came on board with Richard Richard Pitino, and he's doing video work, and we're told that, you know, what he's doing is top-end stuff as well. But back to Dave Thorson, the way he coaches, the way he teaches is so specific. Like here, you know, I think I saw the other day, they're like taping X's on the floor to say, hey, this is the spot. Like, it's not kind of over in this area. It's not like maybe right here. This is where you need to be, right here. X marks the spot, quite literally. Now, I'm not saying that happens every practice, but this calm demeanor, you know, that he goes about and demonstrates what needs to be done with the scattering report, I see why he has been as successful as he has.
Yeah, I know we've talked about this briefly before, Mike, but when you talk about Dave Thorson, you know, he really is a teacher of the game, and I actually had him as a professor in college. It was me, Ryan Saunders, gosh, who else was in that class? A few other the basketball players, and we had Dave Thorson. I don't know, it was like a sports marketing class in the summer, and back then you used to have to take a certain amount of credits during the summer, which would allow you to live on campus, which would allow you to continue to work out and lift and the whole thing. And I just remember, and it's going to echo what you just said, is how Dave is so deliberate and direct in his approach, and couldn't agree more that college kids, when they have as much going on as they do, you need to simplify things. And I think by getting down to the granular, minute detail actually is simplifying things. You're taking any sort of doubt or ambiguity out of it. So it's been really cool to see Dave continue his approach. I steal little nuances from him all the time. I used one of his sayings in a sales pitch the other day, which he was talking about it back in the day with our class, and I know he's heard it. Or I know I've heard it with his approach with the team, and I brought it up to him and discussed it with him, and he actually passed along a book to me that the enemy of great is good. And I just think that rings true so much that if you want to be great, you can't just settle for being good. There's a lot of really good basketball players or a lot of really good professionals in their field, but what makes you what can hinder you from being great is being good. And just going along with that approach and that philosophical professor-teacher type approach that he's always had is really cool to see him already come in. And obviously, another thing is he's so well-connected in the state, him and Ben. So you have to think from an in-state recruiting perspective, these guys have a significant finger on the pulse that I don't think a coaching staff has had at the U in quite some time in terms of Minnesota local recruiting.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, when you saw where this team was with the roster that the coaching staff put together, you know, they were picked last to start the Big Ten. We don't know where they'll finish. This is a tough league, top to bottom. I mean, there are no gimmies, and we just don't know. That said, I thought at the start of the year that there was a chance if this team could, and Minneapolis and Minnesota in general is a unique sports market, right? Because it's just been kind of a fractured and bruised market over the years. Vikings are going through it again with, they're going to try to get a fresh new start. And, you know, you every time you hope that things get going, the trap door falls. And so it seems like even as we talk all often, you always have, even like now in this podcast, we've couched it because we're always guarded. Like, we don't know where it's going to end up. It's been right. A nice start. Right. And you almost feel obligated to say it. Maybe we shouldn't, but you do. That said, I thought in November when this season started that this is a unique enough sports market that if Ben could get what he says implemented, gritty, tough, play teams hard, might not be able to beat Michigan State, might not be able to beat Purdue, but play them tough, maybe take them to overtime, show some grit, that this is a sports market that could embrace that, and hopefully just setting that tone early would allow you to have some success recruiting, would allow you to show your vision, even if maybe the wins didn't come as quickly as you had hoped, and that people would embrace what's going on. Well, they're off to a nice start as we record this, 10 wins. Right now, the mock brackets still have the Gophers in. I don't know if we can say that they're going to end up in. This is a tough league. One loss can turn into 3-6 pretty quickly. But that said, I do think that what has happened is that they've showed that they're a well-coached team. They're spacing on the floor. They're getting open shots. They're hard. tough-nosed defensive team. And I do think there's some people, when I interact with Gopher fans, that say, man, this team I really enjoy watching. And hopefully that is kind of where you can get set here with a, you know, and I know people get a little cringy when you use the word culture all the time, but it is important, man. I don't know why people, you know, whatever word you want to use, there's absolutely an approach, a culture, a process. And if you set it well and set it well early, that can lead to good things. And I'd say so far so good on how Ben has been able to implement what he wants in this. And I think it fits his personality as well. He actually said to us on the coaches show this week, Michigan State, who the Gophers played Wednesday, that's the approach. That's what we want. We want to be tough every second of every game, and that's how you got to win in the Big Ten. So that is a long question to a backdrop of the hope was just set the tone. Just get that culture implemented. Let the community embrace you and see where it can take you. I wasn't sure how many wins would come along, but so far it's been, quite honestly, more than I thought. And I think this thing is off to a decent enough start that there's some real good optimism for where this thing can head.
Yeah, I think he's got a couple things going for him. Number one, just the style of play. To echo your point, I've heard people mention it already to me. And at the games and that sort of thing is how they appreciate how they play versus how they had played in the years past. So he's got that going for him. Another good thing that he's got going for him is Jameson Battle's having a really, really nice year in the Big Ten. I think he's like fifth or sixth in scoring in the league. And that helps coming from Minnesota and having a hometown kid come back to the city, because I think people want to root for Ben. I really do. You know, kind of the underdog guy from here. Like you said, he couldn't get whatever the Northern Illinois, Eastern Illinois job, whatever it was a year or two ago, and now he's back at his alma mater. I think people want to root for Ben. And let's face it, it's always going to come down to wins and losses. But if Ben can come in and establish the culture and the identity in which he's been able to do already and transition that with future recruits, I think he'll have success here. And just to bring up your point, Mike, that, you know, anybody that would kind of naysay a culture, specifically at the college level, I mean, there's certainly cultures in the pros. You look at New England and the culture there, right? I mean, that's been effective, the type of culture that Tom Brady brings with him and where he goes. But at the collegiate level, culture is so important. And if somebody can, whoever listens to this podcast or hears the term culture or approach in college athletics and can't appreciate that, makes me believe that they've either never been on a team, whether it's athletics or in a professional atmosphere, because I think about it with work all the time. Now that I've transitioned from athletics into my professional career, I think about the culture of my team and who the people that I work with, and that is infectious, it's intoxicating, and culture absolutely matters. Your style, your approach, how you go about things, and it's infectious, good and bad. And for anybody that would naysay a culture approach specifically with these kids at the collegiate level, makes me believe that they've never experienced a positive culture where they can believe in something like that.
Well, hey, we could probably talk another hour on just that alone as we talk about college sports and cultures and young kids and guidance and direction, and maybe we can do that. But it'd be fun to have you on a few times over the next few weeks here with this basketball team and the next few months as we work our way into the fun times of March. But thanks for being on episode one, guest number two. You're in the two hole here, which means I might ask you to bunt at some point, you know, because we got Ben as the leadoff hitter on this episode one, and hopefully everyone enjoyed it. But thanks for your time, and it'll be fun. Hopefully our next road trip, we get to eat at the place we want to get to eat at.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I'll take the sack bunt to move Ben to second to win the game. That's fine. I'll take that.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, and sure, as the old saying goes, you know, people born on third base and think they hit a triple. Ben is hitting singles right now. You're going to bunt him over. Yep. And we're going to hopefully, you know, have some fun here over the next few months in the short term, and hopefully over the next several years in the long term.
It's going to be fun. Really looking forward to this with Ben and this staff. Selfishly for me, it's been great. Like, I've known Ben. Ben was, and we've discussed this, he was one of the assistant hosts on my visit. We obviously run in the same circle of past teammates and current friends. So selfishly for me, it's been awesome. And then just to for Ben to see the way that they've at least gotten things started with the 10 wins and at least the positive momentum. It's been really cool.
All right, very good. He is Spencer Tollickson, and this is Go Gopher Podcast number one. My thanks to Ben Johnson and Spencer Tollickson for joining me on the maiden voyage of the Go Gopher Podcast with Mike Grimm. It's brought to you by State Farm agent Tony Hoagland at ChamplinInsurance.com. We'll talk to you again next week.